Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Geek Parent, connecting modern parenting and today's nerdy generation.
And he's up there and he's in the zone.
We educate and entertain parents through board games, video games, tech discoveries, and STEM education. Inspiring a new generation starts now.
Welcome to the Geek Parent Radio, where we focus on new generation of smart, frugal, and trendy digital parents. I'm your geeky host, Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler.
Is Josh, that's right, there you are. Josh will be with you for the next 30 minutes to discuss some of today's tech gadgets, education, discoveries, and parenting in the digital age. And if at any time during the show you'd like to ask a question or request a topic, you can email the station at onair@thegeekparent.com, or just join us in the chat room if you visit us at our podcast site. And be sure to stop over and like us on Facebook or subscribe to us on Twitter via our website as well. So this is our first episode, and we're really excited. Hopefully we don't screw this up. In other words, I'm talking about myself, because I know Josh is pretty laid back. He's good about this stuff. So Josh, Valentine's Day is coming up this weekend. Some of our listeners have that special someone. And I know you have that special someone. You just got married, didn't you?
Yes, I did. August 1st.
Congratulations. So this is going to be your first Valentine's Day with the wife. And, I've got 23 years of marriage under my wing, so it's kind of really not a big deal for me. But I know some people that make it a big deal. And for those who are procrastinators in this area, you can visit lastminute.com for some quick deals and ideas for that special someone. And actually, you might want to bookmark that if you're a procrastinator too, because that has a lot of great deals for other holidays as well, if you're into that last-minute stuff. And then if you're single, of course, which I wouldn't know about that department. But if you are a single parent, I know it's kind of tough for you, so hop on over and see Coffee Meets Bagel. That's a pretty compatible name for that as well. It was actually mentioned in Time Magazine as one of the top apps for people who want to fall in love. So that app kind of limits the amount of profiles that you want to interact with per day. But if you're looking for that special someone, because Valentine's Day is coming up and you want to use technology to do that, hop on over to Coffee Meets Bagel. So, obviously, Valentine's Day coming up. Josh, what did you do this week?
Well, I've actually got everything done last week. I'm not going to say what I got my wife because she's in the other room, but what I do have planned is we have steaks and smoked lobster on Saturday, and it's a kid-free weekend, so maybe
sweet,
a little bubbly.
Sweet. Yeah, there you go. It's too bad, you know, with as much as we depend on technology, it's too bad that we can't have it cooking for us, huh? That'd be kind of great.
Actually, I do have an electric smoker, so.
Do you really?
Yep.
There you go. That works out great. Well, you know, it's funny because my kids are learning more about technology in school. You know, obviously STEM education and, you know, applied technology. And the Google documents and everything is being used in the schools these days. So it's been pretty heavy for them. So they're learning their innovations, and they're always coming up with ideas on, hey, I think this would be a great invention and so forth. But I know that applied technology can be kind of hard for kids. It's kind of easier for us because you're in the industry. You're in internet technology and administration and so forth, and I've been doing it for a while as well in technology. So it's easier for us, but this generation is picking up on a lot of things that those parents who are not into technology are kind of becoming overwhelmed with, and especially with kids who are autistic. me having two kids who are autistic, learning technology, and especially having to learn it in Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, Publisher, and so forth, it can be quite overwhelming for them. So here are a couple of tips that I have for parents who have kids who are special needs and they are into the applied technology and learning STEM education into school. One thing that I would highly recommend is that you have your child utilize something with technology every day. Make it, don't be afraid of your child using technology, because really it's the future. And if you're not already doing it where you work, eventually your kids are going to be doing it. So you want to make sure that they have that those type of skills. So make sure your kids are utilizing something with technology every day. This could be anything from Excel, Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, Publisher, even PaintShop Pro, and Windows Media Live. Those are great entertainment things to get the kids flowing, juices flowing for technology, and especially with kids who have autism as well. And speaking of Microsoft, PowerPoint, Word, and so forth, I use Microsoft Windows. But Josh, you recommend Windows 10? Or is that what you're using?
Well, I have Windows 10. Windows 10 hasn't been released to public release yet. It is as a private release where you can test it out. On January 21st, they actually had some announcements and some upgrades and trying to get people to understand it. And one of the announcements that they did that kind of floored a lot of people was that for the first year of the release, they are allowing everybody to upgrade if they have Windows 7 or Windows 8. They're allowing them to upgrade for free. And that's a pretty big change considering in the past, you know, Windows upgrades have been upwards of between $100 and $180. So that's a pretty big one.
Wow. So anybody who's using Windows 7 or Windows 8, it's completely free.
Yes, if they upgrade in the first year.
Okay, first year. Okay, just to verify.
Yep, there hasn't been anything said for after that first year. But as long as they upgrade within that first year, then it is free.
And where would they go to upgrade this? How did they do that?
I'm able to do it through a preview, and I'm assuming that you can just go to MicrosoftStore.com and you'd be able to upgrade through there. They're trying to make things much easier, so they haven't really said how they're going to release it yet. But they have said that it's going to be free.
And what's the biggest, tell us some of the differences of what we're to expect in Windows 10. I mean, I've really have been using, obviously, Windows for a very long time. I've done Linux for a little bit as well, but I've always gone back to Windows. One, because I think a lot of the companies they've stuck with it for a while, and a lot of companies are afraid to change. Windows has always been, I really haven't had a problem with Windows per se. I do a lot of, you know, both of us actually do a lot of video gaming, and Windows is great with some of the video games as well. But what is some of the changes to expect in Windows 10?
Well, I've used a bunch of the different operating systems. I've kind of gone off the premise of using the right tool for the right job. Desktop, it's been Windows, hands down. Some of the mobility, it's been Apple. I've messed around with Linux. And what they've really kind of done that I like with this new one is with Windows 10, they're trying to create a one operating system across all platforms. So whether you are on a desktop, laptop, tablet, or phone, you have the same kernel underneath, that the same operating system that you're running, and it just changes for the device it's on. So for a desktop, it's going to be just like your standard desktop. When you go to a tablet, it gives you the option to, hey, do you want to change into tablet mode? When it changes into tablet mode, it changes everything to full screen so that it has full screen, buttons to push, just like an iPad or an Android tablet or or the Windows tablet, the Surface Pro. And then for a phone, it does more of the tiling just like the Windows phone does now. So that's kind of one of the big things, is that they've gone away with, you know, Apple has their OS X and then their iOS, which is nice, but it's still two operating systems. They want to be able to make one operating system. That way the developers then can make one program that can work on multiple devices. So that's probably the biggest change that I think of.
Right, right. And for those of you who are not technologically advanced and are somewhat a little bit confused, Josh, do you think Windows 10 is going to be easier for user-friendly, I should say, for those who aren't?
It is very much similar to Windows 7 in a lot of aspects. They kind of took what was the best out of 7 and some of the things that were good about 8, and they crumpled them all together. That's a technical term, too, crumpled. So,
you have to go to college for that word.
yeah. So when you open it up, I actually just installed it on another laptop today, and when I opened it up, it was very close to the way Windows 7 was. So if you're used to Windows 7, it's going to be very similar. The start button, when you do pull it up, it is a little different because they've taken the tiles from the Windows 8 start menu and they've kind of put it in there so you have live tiles right there. So you can have your Facebook updates, stock quotes, Skype calls, any of that stuff could be right up in your start button window. You also have notifications on there now on the right side of the screen. You have a control panel where you can turn your wireless on and off. You can turn the computer on and off. You can log off. You can change your display settings. And all those are on a nice little condensed control panel on the right side of the screen. There's a lot of little things that are like Windows 7, but there's a lot of things that they brought in to make it much easier. They have Cortana, which if anybody's familiar with Halo, the Halo series, Cortana was Master Chief's personal assistant. And they now have Cortana where they've kind of envisioned her as being your personal assistant for your computer. So you can ask her, as she learns you, you can ask her to, can you send an email to my wife? Can you remind me to buy flowers for Valentine's Day? And she will remind you. You can ask her to pull up a file, and she will find that file, and she'll pull it up. You can ask her to play your favorite song, and she'll find your favorite song, and she'll play it.
Now, what more could you ask for?
you know?
To cook for you.
She doesn't cook dinner. You know, hey, can't have everything.
That's right. That's right. Well, for those of you who want to find out more, you can go to the Microsoft website. I'm sure it'll tell you a little bit more about Windows. Otherwise, I'm sure you could find any types of information about the upgrade, but Microsoft.com would be a great place for you to go.
Are you lost yet? Are you lost yet?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are actually in that department. But we are actually going to move on to some of the apps that we've discovered this week. And I know, Josh, you've discovered, or you're actually using an app called Many Things.
It's called Many Thing. You can visit the app at www.manything.com. It's M-A-N-Y-T-H-I-N-G. And I've been looking around for some home surveillance type apps, programs, messing around. That way we can view my video, my webcam from work, or and basically so that we can keep an eye on the dogs. We have two puppies.
Right.
They are puppies, and they do everything that puppies do. So we're trying to find out which puppy is doing what.
And that works, and you can use that?
Yes. So
with
we've gone
your,
through, and I found this app called MiniThing, and I tried it out. You set it up. It's only for iPhones right now, iPhones, iPads, iOS devices. And you download it to your iPhone or iPad, and you sign into the account, and you have the option to either view a already playing camera or make that phone a camera. And it will make the phone a live feed camera, and it will play video wherever you're sitting. It right now, MiniThing stores it on their web servers. For the time being, they are allowing unlimited devices for 30 days of storage time. So you store it on their servers. You can go back and view it. You can make clips. You can you get audio. You can live view it from the desktop. You can live view it from your phone. It's a very cool app.
And do you need fast internet in order to use that?
You're going to need something faster than most of the internet you get nowadays. You should be able to get it. If you get dial-up, you might not be able to do it.
Right.
But it is able to run over a cellular connection. So as long as anything is pretty much faster than a cellular connection nowadays. Average speeds are probably 5 megs. And that should be good to run one camera. If you end up wanting to run multiple ones, we have 3 running. You're going to need more bandwidth in order to get those running.
That's probably what I should have done. Probably a couple of years ago, I had around the holidays there was a vandalism in my neighborhood, and some of the kids were kicking the pumpkins and knocking down decorations, and we just couldn't figure out who it was. So, and I actually had thought of something like this, but I didn't realize that many things was out. So I think I'm going to try that out.
Ooh.
And on that note, with many things, it's manythings.com. So if you are into surveillance, go ahead and check that out. You might be, like Josh said, that you can only use it with the iOS programs right now. So Android users, I'm sorry, but iOS for right now, I think that's a pretty popular use right now. Anyways, I'm actually going to move on to the board games because I'm really excited about a board game. I'm excited about board games, but this board game that I had previously tried wasn't exactly what I had expected it to be. So have you ever heard of the game Geek Out, Josh?
It sounds familiar.
Well, it's obviously a tabletop game. What you do is you draw some cards, and it lists certain numbers of things which fall under categories like comic books, fantasy, game, science fiction, so forth. And then the other players have to, kind of like trivia, but they have to try to steal your points by bidding on the lists. Say, for instance, you get the comic category, and you have to list 10, or you have to list 3 Batman enemies, and I can list 5. Okay, so we kind of have to try to bid each other out on how many we can actually list. So it's a nice game. The only thing is that there is no right or wrong answers to this because it's not listed on the cards. That means, so you could say 10 and try to list 10, and if I wasn't a Batman fan, for instance, I wouldn't know if you were lying or not. You know what I mean? So I would
yes.
You spend more time looking things up to prove that the person is wrong or to prove that you're right rather than actually playing the game. And I think that that's where it bothers me because, like I said, you spend more time looking things up on the internet than you do playing it. And obviously we all know the people that you play with really wouldn't lie, and we know that everything you find on the internet must be true too, right? So
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Yeah.
And if it comes from the internet.
That's right. So we spent most of our time looking that up, and it just didn't fall over too well with me because I kind of got bored, and trying to prove that my husband is wrong is like pulling a tooth. On that note, that was my – I liked playing board games this week, but you discovered something. You discovered a new technology or an innovation. What did you discover?
Well, at being the background that I am with computers, one of the things that I want to try to push the kids in is understanding computers because going forward, that's where the jobs are going to lie. So I was looking for – ways to teach them programming very easily, and my son happens to like robots, so I ended up finding a company called Wonder Workshop, and they make this robot pair called Dash and Dot that you can program using an iPad, and I believe you can, again, I think all I saw was for iOS devices, but that is the pretty much the mainstream devices. But they have four apps that teach younger kids, as young as five, how to program.
And what exactly, it's called Make Wonder or Wonder Workshops?
The company is called Wonder Workshop. The website is www.makewonder.com, and you can purchase them from there or Amazon. They are on a little bit on the expensive side, but when you start getting into robots, robots are expensive.
Right. But it's, you know, I think it's really worth it too, because with the way that innovations are going these days in technology, that's something that's really going to flow over well with both career and hobbyists. So I would definitely highly recommend that as well. My kids love going to the maker shops that are out there, and MakeWonder.com had some really great ideas and so forth that I would highly recommend. So if you're a parent who's into STEM education, the applied technology, and trying to get your kids into some of the geek hobbyists, or if you're into it yourself as well, that would be a great opportunity to connect with your kid on so many different levels. And it's called MakeWonder.com. Like Josh said, he's getting his kids into it, and it really is well worth it for me as well with my kids. And we are actually out of time right now, so we're going to close a little bit, and then if you have any questions or you want to archive this show, you can get it from www.thegeekparent.com, and be sure to bookmark us as well so that you can come back next week to hear us. And so that's it from The Geek Parent Radio. Thank you for allowing us into your homes or your office today. All of our podcasts can be archived again from our website. And as always, keep updated with our decisions, our discussions, and upcoming guests from our website. Be sure to like us on Facebook and Twitter, and also accessible via our website. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we look forward to talking to you again right here every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. Until then, I am Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Ostetler.